There's the bell. Birds, we're into the 6th month anniversary of the show. And I, you know, it just occurred to me, we started, as I remember, one of the first shows we did, we were sharpening pencils. Remember that? We were trying to, get down to the office together. And I was thinking as we did that, you know, that these, as I sharpen these, and as I sharpen again some pencils, I mean, every 6 months you need some. I was thinking in so many ways, a week from tomorrow, you know, it's like your vote. Every vote that you is cast is just it's like a pencil being sharpened, you know? You know, just selected and, processed. How many pencils is that so far? Yeah, well, how many did we up to? No, I kept track. and I wrote it down somewhere. How many votes? I mean, how many pencils?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. comes, you can find me crying all of the time. Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday, Monday, won't go away. Monday, Monday, it's here to stay. Oh, Monday, Monday.
I'm keeping track. I'm counting. I just looked the box of pencils. Guarantees that they're 100% real wood. So we're off and running. It's 6 after the hour. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago on Bleat.network. And thanks for joining us. It is our 6 month anniversary month, you know, kind of weeks. We're going to visit with all sorts of people who we met in the last 6 months. They're coming on later this week, and just exciting stuff. I'm in a real good frame of mind for that, which is good because the news is kind of kind of odd to say the least. The White House has pretty much given up on trying to slow the virus's spread as the outbreak roils Pence's office. That is the longest. That's a Washington Post headline. Wow. I'll take a break. The outbreak around the vice president who chairs the White House's coronavirus task force undermines the argument that President Trump has been making to voters that the country is rounding the turn. There he is. He's rounding the turn right now. That's right. As he put it at a rally Sunday in New Hampshire, the presidential campaign was roiled this weekend by a fresh outbreak of the novel coronavirus at the White House that infected at least 5 aides or advisors to Vice President Pence. That's a spread that President Trump's top staffer acknowledged Sunday he had tried to avoid disclosing to the public. The election, about a week away, the new White House outbreak spotlighted the administration's failure to contain the pandemic as hospitalizations surge across much of the United States. Daily new cases hit all-time highs. The outbreak around Pence, who ironically chairs the White House's coronavirus task force, undermines the argument that Trump has been making to voters that the country is rounding the turn. And boy, if you missed this, I'm sorry. Further complicating Trump's campaign trail pitch was an extraordinary admission Sunday from White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows that the administration had effectively given up on trying to slow the virus's spread. He said what? He said, quote, "We're not going to control the pandemic." He said this on CNN. "We're going to control the fact that we get vaccines, therapeutics, and other mitigations." Well, you know, that's the deal, right? They have been saying for a while now, well, we're going to get a vaccine. Well, we're going to get a vaccine soon. Well, we're not going to get a vaccine by next week. We're not going to get one today. I guess they're just going to wait. So Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, who does wear a mask on the campaign trail and does adhere to social distancing, sought to capitalize on the remark, said he, "This was not a slip by Meadows. It was a candid acknowledgement of what President Trump's strategy has clearly been from the beginning of this crisis, to wave the white flag of defeat and hope that by ignoring it, the virus would simply go away. It hasn't and it won't," said a vice president, and I'm crossing my fingers. President, soon president-elect, Biden. You know, I got to say one thing, man. You know, we keep talking about, you know, people getting what they deserve. There's so many ways that you slice it. Do they not deserve to lose this election? Please. Amy Coney Barrett is expected to be confirmed as the 9th Supreme Court Justice in a vote today. The Senate Democrats took over the floor in protest overnight, but I don't think that's going to do anything. They will be confirming her, as far as we know today. That's going to be the 9th Supreme Court Justice, the 6th conservative, as it were. And I'll leave that to you. What's going to happen after that? They say in the 12-step program, give it to God. Maybe that's what we do with the Supreme Court and all the stuff that's coming up on that. Let's see here. Oh, yes, the discovery of phosphine gas in Venus's atmosphere. This was the most interesting story that I've come upon and Aaron the News Bearer and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. The discovery of phosphine gas in Venus's atmosphere, announced last month and hailed as a possible sign of life, may have been a fluke. No. No, come on. No, I don't believe it. I'm not accepting that. All right, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. We are. We're all moving to Venus tomorrow. And let's just take a second before we leave. The mayor of the city of Chicago has a point to make.
Each of us have the power in our own hands to write our own destiny, our own narrative, but it has to start now with getting back to basics. Wearing a mask, social distancing, limiting crowd size, and not allowing non-family members, people who are not in your bubble, into your homes. This virus is relentless. It doesn't respect our boundaries. It's not something that we can keep at bay when we're in our home. It isn't. We've got to be diligent every single day.
There you go. Words that need to be repeated. That's from Mayor Lightfoot. If you listen to me somewhere else, this is the mayor of Chicago, and we are attempting to do the right thing here. She certainly is. So those are the words that we're living by. It's well after the hour. Let's do something here. I wanted to set something up here. You know what we could do? This might be fun to do here. We were looking at all kinds of stuff. There's so much happening in history today, which is good because what's happening in the present day isn't so good. Let's see if I can find this clip here. I know what it is. This is the anniversary. I guess this is sort of a bizarre. We've been doing these virtual. I know I'm wandering off the mic here. I know we're doing these virtual tours. Here it is, 1972. Guided tours of the former prison of Alcatraz by the National Park Service began. Should we go over and see what's going on? All right, let's go to Alcatraz. Come on. It could be worse than here, or no?
Move on to the next cell. In the 1950s, radios were installed at Alcatraz. You might have noticed what looks like a light switch box with two holes. Prisoners plug their earphones in there to listen to the radio.
We had two stations we could plug into. They let us listen to such programs as Boston Blackie,
Pelican, Have Gun Would Travel,
baseball games, and basketball games.
Move on to the next cell.
At nighttime, between 6:30 and 7:30, they have what they call a music hour. They play harmonicas or a guitar or whatnot. They had one guy over there, and he used to play one of these slide trombones. And I think he only knew three notes, da-da-da, da-da-da. For an hour, that's all I hear, da-da-da, da-da-da.
New Year's Eve. Everybody had a saxophone or a clarinet or a guitar or whatever started playing. Then they'd take their tin cups and they'd rack them back and forth across the front of the bars.
Turn around and look up at the windows. They face San Francisco and the setting sun.
The yacht club, which was directly across from the island, would always have a big New Year's party. If the wind was blowing from that direction to the rock, you could actually hear people laughing, you could hear music, You could hear girls laughing, you know. You could hear all the sounds that were coming from the free world at the Rock. But New Year's was always the night we heard it.
Isley Brothers on the Pandemic Pirate Show for Monday. This is the 26th of October. As you know, the end of the month is the end of the week, and then by the time we get into Election Day, we'll be in November. Oh my goodness, that would be a week from today. It is it's 18 after the hour. We woke up to kind of a cold day today. It's 36 degrees in Chicago. Not much of a break today. We'll get up only to, I think, about that same high today, and it's going to be kind of chilly. However, looking ahead, and it's really hard to predict weather. A week from today, oddly enough, it's supposed to be nice. It's 55 and sunny for Election Day, so we'll cross our fingers there. So I was Can you hear my wrinkling paper here? I've got a bunch of stuff from the Sunday papers here, New York Times, and sometimes I get the Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times and stuff like that. I'm just trying to see what might be of interest here. New York Times did a kind of thing. I like this. They do a thing, New York Times for Kids, and this is actually pretty good, How to Become President. They made kind of a board game out of it. Some interesting little bits of trivia. And they have a thing on why you should care about the election. Explain this to kids. Let's see here. Okay, it talks about your school lunch. That's true. The kids reading here. One of the president's jobs is to appoint people to help run the government. Person can decide how many fruits and vegetables are on your lunch tray. Wasn't it the government? How many years ago was it they declared ketchup a vegetable? Well, exactly, kids. What sports you can play? That's right. Let's see what else here. How safe your toys are. Every 6 years, a president nominates the chairperson of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. Wow. I hope it works better for you guys than it did for us.
We survived so much, my generation. The stuff we played with. Firecrackers, bottle rockets. You play with those things? You got any fingers left, hold them up. Toy guns of all kinds, BB guns, pellet guns, air guns. I used to have a Derringer that came out of my belt buckle. Remember that? With a greedy stick and caps. There he is, he's with me. We used to make our own toys. Break a thermometer in half, play with the mercury. We used to ride go-karts without helmets. Helmets? You're a sissy, it only goes 50 miles an hour. Then we go sledding. This is Rosebud. This is an original flexible flyer. I say original because they had to change this model. These runners were pointed, and the kids would go out sledding, and some of them would get nailed to a tree. What happened to Billy? He got nailed to a tree. You just left him there? We were cold. What a family game this was. It's a tragedy they took this off the market. The problem was they couldn't figure out how much it was worth if it landed in your uncle's foot. This is my personal favorite. The chemistry set. I swear to God, I used to make nitric acid. My mother, what's that smell? This was an educational toy. You can combine with anything. The boy on the right has just discovered a cure for polio. The young man on the left, making an atomic bomb out of fluoridated water. We had the wood-burning kit. You can't explain this to young people. Well, it was an arts and crafts kit in which you wrote on wood. Well, how'd you do that? Well, it was like a magic marker, but the tip was heated to 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Merry Christmas. Don't write on the china cabinet. Play-Doh. See right there. Clean and non-toxic. They wanted you to eat this. Mom, can we have Play-Doh? Don't spoil your dinner. We're having fish sticks. Little girls who had the easy bake oven. Right. Still got the blisters. It hurts to clap. This is the original baked with two ordinary electric light bulbs. You have any idea what it does to the hand of a five-year-old girl? Sally, are your muffins ready? Yes, Mommy. Oh, God damn it! And we saved the best for last. Another thing on my radio show, I asked people to call in and describe the most dangerous toy they remember playing with. And the winner was a kit for making lead soldiers by melting lead. Hold on. There it is. The crucible of forceps. This is an appropriate toy for a five-year-old. Timmy, what are you doing? I'm smelting lead. This reminds me of a time long ago in the summer, in a place that I grew up in called Chesterton, Indiana, which was a very swampy area. So they hired this guy to come over every summer with a mosquito fogger, which was kind of like an air compressor attached to a bazooka. And he'd this mass of toxic pesticide would fill the area. The kids loved it. We would play in the cloud. adults didn't say anything. Consider what we're telling you here. The mosquitoes were dead. The vegetation gone. All forms of life had come to an end. The kids, la 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 la.
Fleetwood Mac at half past the hour on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show for a Monday. We will survive this. We will survive our dangerous toys and our dangerous government. On this day in history, I'm eager to take us away from the modern times if we can. See if we can get something going on. I'm gonna get this properly illustrated here. I believe this is an anniversary of the, it's the Pony Express, I think. Let me get this to work. come on, horsies. On this day.
The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, I feel like the Lone Ranger myself here. The Pony Express wrapped it up. On this day in 1861, they ended after only 19 months.
A speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver.
That's right.
The Lone Ranger.
He had nothing to do with the Pony Express, but I wanted to play this.
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Yeah.
The Lone Ranger.
Tonto put
again.
Up with a lot, by the way. In this day in 1863, the Red Cross began. Hillary Clinton was born. Yeah, 1947. She was First Lady, Senator from New York, Secretary of State, and then she was the 2016 Democratic presidential nominee. You remember that, don't you? Who else? On this day in 1946, Pat Sajak. I always thought Pat was a pretty cool guy. Pat Sajak, born in Chicago, another Chicago birthday. Pat Sajak, a really interesting guy. Maybe we'll do a little thing on him. You've heard me play a clip from the movie Good Morning Vietnam, and I actually interviewed the real guy behind that. Anyway, Pat Sajak did a similar thing over Armed Forces Television, so interesting guy here. Oh, and last but not least, Seth MacFarlane, the star of everything funny in the world. What's he do? Family Guy and, oh, don't forget Ted.
Teddy? Teddy? Help me! You're my best friend, John. Did you just talk? Don't look so surprised. You're the one who wished for it, aren't you?
Yeah, I did wish for it.
Well, here I am.
You mean we get to be best friends for real?
For real.
Forever and ever?
Sounds good to me.
John was just about the happiest boy in the world, and he couldn't wait to tell everyone the good news.
Mom, Dad, guess what? My teddy bear's alive!
Really? Well, isn't that exciting?
No, Mom, he's really alive. Look!
Merry Christmas, everybody!
Jesus H. F***!
Let's all be best friends!
Oh, my God!
John,
oh, God.
Get away from that thing. Get over here, right now.
But, Dad...
Get over here!
Listen to your mother, come here!
Helen, get my gun.
Dad, no!
Is it a hugging gun?
Helen, get my gun and call the police!
I'm sorry, Mr. Bennett. I didn't mean to scare anybody. I just wanted John and I to be friends.
Yeah, Dad. I made a wish last night that Teddy was alive. My wish came true.
Oh, my God. It's a miracle. It's a Christmas miracle. You're just like the baby Jesus.
Oh, hey.
An abrupt ending. That's Tommy James, the live version of Mirage. Everything that we see this day is just a little bit off. It is 23 before the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's bleat.network. Please join us in any way that you care to, and your input would be more than welcome. We'll try to get it on the air. RadioAnything@gmail.com. RadioAnything@gmail.com. Send me an email, or better yet, send me a voicemail and just attach it. Or you can send us a toll-free voicemail anytime, 24/7, if you're listening to us. Anytime. You'll pick up your phone and call 844-220-3300. Please. Speaking of, I thought I'd throw this out. I had an idea. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Oh, folks, I'm looking out the window. It is between 9 and 10. Oh, jeez. In real time, let's see, it's 9:37 in Chicago, and it is snowing. Oh, no. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. It is. I am taken aback. Yes, there we are. Don't slip on it. Yeah, it's snow. I mean, it's snowing. Oh, no. All right. Well, I guess that happens. After the summer, we have some fall-like weather. I knew it was supposed to snow a little bit, but I wasn't expecting it to happen in the middle of the show here. All right, if you are driving, as we used to say, careful. This is the worst moment when you just get the precipitation. So, all right, we hope that the weather holds up, so we all vote. A couple of things are going on that I noticed over the weekend here. This is a pretty good article, interesting article. If you have access to this, you could check it out. It's in the New York Times. The two Americas financing the Trump and the Biden's campaigns. Let's read that again. The two Americas financing the Trump and Biden campaigns. In other words, there's really two countries here. There's one country that's financing the Biden campaign and another country that is financing the Trump campaign. This is interesting. I think maybe I knew this and maybe you did. I don't know. Biden has walloped Trump in fundraising recently. Estimated donors by zip code since April. Biden racks up 4.9 million estimated donors, Trump 2.7 million. So not quite twice, but he's doing it here. And then there's a map here that has, oddly enough, it's little blue dots and little red dots. And it shows where the money is. And as you can imagine, the blue dots tend to be, it's all over the West Coast. A little bit of a dot here in Chicago, then up and down the eastern seaboard, while the red dots, those are in, let's see, Florida and Texas, the West, Nevada. So, yeah, anyway, let's see here, $1.8 billion donated by 7.6 million people since April. That's Biden. The data reveals for the first time not only when Mr. Biden decisively overtook Mr. Trump. Get this. In the money race, it happened. When did that happen? The day Senator Kamala Harris joined the ticket. That's right. So, all right, that seems to be working for the Democrats. See here. Oh, no. Here's another one here. Another piece of news from the weekend. Long article talking about whose ballot is most likely to get kicked out. And let me just read this one here. We know which votes are most likely to get rejected. Those from younger voters, non-white voters, first-time voters, by mail. These voting blocks are more likely to make innocent mistakes when completing their ballots. And they're all more likely to vote for Democrats. This is part of an article that talks about everything from the machines that kick out, or theoretically people that kick out a signature that doesn't look exactly right. Voting by mail is a fundamentally different process, said Daniel Smith. He is a professor of political science at the University of Florida. So there are two sets of rules that require different knowledge to ensure your ballot counts. So do what you can do. Do it right. Do it as well as you can. And, we will try to keep an eye on each other as we lurch toward the election a short week from now. And then what? According to Michael Cohen, you know Michael Cohen, Trump's former attorney. Well, Trump maybe won't even leave.
Who's advising him?
Now, that's the problem. Right now, you have really just several people, Ivanka, Jared, and most importantly, the person who always is supporting Donald Trump more than anybody else and advising him more than anybody else is himself, right? Donald Trump listens to nobody. He doesn't care really what anybody else says, whether you're trying to protect him or not. Many of the people in his inner circle that are there right now don't care about him as an individual. It's all about themselves. And so they're leading him down a path of destruction. And with, you know, basically 9 days left, he knows that he's losing. And it's sad watching, you know, what could have been a good presidency, what his rhetoric was, is I'm a businessman. I'm going to make great deals. I'm going to do great things for this country. He's done nothing for the country, maybe for himself and his company and his kids, but he's done nothing for this company, for this country.
So, Michael, you've worked so closely with him. You often now hear the president saying, I'm immune, I'm immune. Is it because he's perhaps afraid of being convicted after he leaves office?
Of course. He knows that if he doesn't win, which is the only thing, his presidential power right now that's keeping him from being indicted, and also there will be a litany of litigation that will ensue directly after his loss on November 3rd. Starting with the New York AG, then followed by the New York District Attorney, and then every other locale that, you know, believes that he or his company have committed a crime. And there's going to be quite a few.
Tell the American people what he could possibly be cooking up for an October surprise.
There is no October surprise for him. He's just going to go out there and he's going to talk about his crowd size. He's going to talk about how popular he is, how the last time in 2016, the polls didn't matter. You don't have a flawed candidate like you had before. You actually have a very decent man, right, who is empathetic and he's compassionate and he's a man of service to this country. And he has ideas, he has policies. You can't sit up on top of a stage and talk about a healthcare plan that I have when for 4 years, they still haven't put one out. His only goal is to destroy Obamacare, and not because he doesn't think it's a good thing. He'll never tell you that. He's trying to destroy Obamacare because the first words in it, Obama. He wants to wipe Obama's legacy out of America. I mean, it's just a sickness.
I have an antidote. Pull the lever.
Forevermore, you know your love,
your love keeps lifting me,
lifting,
lifting,
lifting
high.
stand up and face the world. Let me tell you, I'm a lipstick
love, Jackie Wilson, on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago for a Monday morning. It's still snowing. I tell you what, I'm disoriented here. I hadn't expected to see the flakes coming down here. Well, I guess we'll just have to make a little fire, a little virtual fire. Speaking of, I wonder if this is a good idea or a bad idea. I thought I'd throw this out to anybody. And if you think this is a bad idea, then again, let me know. RadioAnything@gmail.com, 844-220-3300. If you're listening to me right now, meaning we got to straighten this out, in real time between 9 and 10, Central Time, you could ring me up on the line, our studio line, which is 773-907-0724, and answer the following question. I'm wondering if it would not be a bad idea, because Halloween is coming up. A lot of people love Halloween. It's not going to be the way it has been. Families trying to figure that out, explaining this to kids, the candy, the costumes, I mean, all the stuff that we associate with Halloween. One thing that I thought maybe we could still do, and I don't know, I would never actually do this on another radio station. I wonder if I could not just spotlight some of the cooler Halloween houses in the, how about the Chicagoland area? There's one across the street from the studio here that gets cooking. There's another one, I mentioned this the other day, up in Skokie next to a friend of mine's house. Not so you go over and go, hello, they told us to come, can we come in? No, just an idea you'd get in your car with your family members, the people you're already locked down with, and maybe do a little tour and go and look at some of the Halloween places. I have a feeling that as we, try to compensate, I think that's the right word, as we try to compensate for some of the things that we haven't been able to do, I'm thinking that we might overcompensate a little bit. And I do have a feeling that people that do Halloween stuff are going to go absolutely berserk. And why not? Why not? So if you have such a neighbor, and again, I'm not going to give away street, an exact street address, but maybe I would say, I don't know, the 1400th block of 89th or somewhere up here or there, you know what I'm talking about. I thought that would be a good idea. If there's any reason I should not do that, then let me know, okay? All right. This just looks like a, I'm looking at a picture here from the Chicago Tribune. I just thought this was a good idea. God, we need something. We need something to get us centered every day. So I got my little picture of a Halloween decor in front of me. Today is the 26th of October. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we're going to join Lauren Massey. Lauren is from the Supper House in Chicago. She and her partner, Thomas, were guests on the show. We will revisit, see how they're doing on the Supper House. Also tomorrow, we're going to talk to Aaron the News Baron. How about Aaron the News and Space Baron? Aaron the Science Baron. We're going to see what's cooking on this story about Venus and also about the asteroid. That's coming up. Jaime, let's see here, joins us from Dos Santos on Wednesday. A working musician. I am so... I am. My heart goes out to these people. How are you doing? What are how they doing? How they doing? We're going to talk about that. Thursday, Mike McClenahan, the vet, the bow tie vet, joins us. I'm ready, boy. We've done everything from birds to cats to dogs. I was talking about elephants the other day. I'm excited to have him on, and we'll have him on and maybe take calls. I was thinking we could maybe do that. So if you listen to us between 9 and 10 in the morning, Chicago time, 9 to 10 a.m. Central time, then probably what I'll be able to do is we'll open up a phone line, all right? I think. So maybe we can do some live questions. We'll do that on Thursday. And then on Friday, our friend Kari, the journalist, the traveling journalist who has been hanging out almost everywhere, we want to talk about her situation and what she's been doing. So all of that is coming up soon.
I want to ask every single American, no matter what party you normally vote for, to please take a moment to pause. Click off the news. Think about how you felt over these last 4 years, how quickly things have turned. And then think about what the next 4 years could mean for our country's future. The message we will send to our children about who we are and what we truly value. Think about what would possibly compel you to accept this level of chaos, violence, and confusion under this president, and be willing to watch our country continue to spiral out of control. Because we can no longer pretend that we don't know exactly who and what this president stands for. Search your hearts and your conscience. Go to iwillvote.com to request your ballot and make your voting plan right now. And then vote for Joe Biden like your lives depend on it.
I did. I already did. You know, I've never, in the years that I've been doing radio, I've never actually, believe it or not, even endorsed a candidate. I don't know. Back in the old days, we used to think that was the right way to do it. So I never endorsed a candidate. I've certainly never revealed on the air who I voted for. And I think the reason that everything is just different now is obvious to everyone. I was thinking when I got up this morning, you know, I played "Welcome to the Working Week," that back to work song off the top of the show here. You know, I guess if I have a job description, it would be radio talk show host or radio personality, something like that, if I had to put it out. But you know, to be honest, I don't. Some days I feel that way, like I've got to, you know, I have to do some particular thing. I would say most days I'm hanging out. I'm hanging out with you. We're both up. We're both doing our thing. Play some music, talk about the news, talk about the world, not talk about the world. And yeah, on those days, you know, I'm just in the I'm in the river. I'm in the flow, I'm in the stream. And then there are days when we are, all of us in media, are called upon to be pontificators. And jeez, I woke up this morning. Pence's staff is sick. There's an outbreak, but they're going ahead with the campaign. I mean, what do you do? You know, I was thinking of a movie. Maybe we'll get a clip from this. One of my favorite movies of my youth, Cool Hand Luke, Paul Newman. And the movie starts, Luke is gotten into trouble because he got drunk one night and he got a pipe cutter and he started cutting the heads off of parking meters. And so they've got him, they're bringing him to the camp there, and Strother Martin plays the captain. He says, cutting the head off parking meters, what do you think you're going to get with that? And Paul Newman, Luke, says, I guess you could say I wasn't thinking, Captain. I'm waiting for the post-election interview in which they say, what were you guys thinking? And they all get together and they all say, guess you could say we wasn't thinking, Captain. This wide cast produced by Natasha Rodriguez.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.